Reading from Ephesians chapter 6. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Everyone say the whole armor. Not just a part, not just a piece, not just the ones that you like, but the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. God's plan for you is, no matter what life throws at you, that you can stay standing. That you don't have to be knocked down, that you don't have to be overcome by these things, but God has given us these tools to be able to stand. He goes on, and then he begins to describe what they are. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And tonight we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit and going on offense. Going on offense. And before we begin, can we just open our hearts and ask God to speak to our hearts where we're at and what we need to hear in this place? Can we just, Lord, let your word speak. Help us, God, to hear what you would have us to hear. God, encourage us. God, remind us of what you have given to us. And we are so thankful for all that you have done in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, before you're seated, turn around, shake somebody's hand, and tell them, keep standing. Keep standing, and you may be seated. This whole series has been about using the right tool at the right time in the right way. That God has given us everything that we need to be successful, everything that we need to be victorious. Any trial, any tribulation, any addiction, any depression, anything that would try to capture our heart or lead us away from the life that God would have us, God has said, look, I've given you everything that you need to be able to face it. I've given you everything that you need to be able to stand. And our problem is wrapped up in a couple things. Number one is we often don't realize what we've been given. We often don't realize what God has provided for us. Secondly, we often use them incorrectly, and we begin to wield them wrong or try to make them do something they were never intended to do. And thirdly, we take one thing and we try to use it in a way that it was never intended to be used. And this morning I had a sponge and a hammer, and I said, we don't use a sponge to try to hammer in a nail, and you don't use a hammer to try to clean off the counter. It's just not going to work. They weren't made for that. But yet, in probably all of our homes, we have a sponge and we have a hammer because they're useful for what they were intended to do. And we need to look at what God has given us and use it in the right way, because when we do and we follow the scripture, it works. It makes a difference. And so we've been looking at this, and the important thing is that through all of this, he said, look, you need every one of these. You can't go through and just pick and choose. They all work together. They all are effective together, and a life that's going to stand needs all the pieces working together. So we've been looking at this year, and I know kind of skipped a couple of weeks here and there, but again, we're going to hammer through this and understand what God has for us. And so we started off talking about the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And we looked into this, and again, if you've missed something, make sure you listen to the messages, that the helmet represents who is Lord of our life. And salvation is the transference of authority in our life. And here's how we use this, that if there is a question about who is Lord, if there's a struggle in your life about whose way you're going to follow, about whose way is your way or God's way, or who is in charge of your life, this is what we need to do. This is the time that you need to pray through. You need to have that Pentecostal experience again and understand what it means to transfer authority to God. That God, if there's a battle between who is Lord of my life, when I get down on my knees and I let you refill me, it becomes perfectly clear who is Lord in my life. That struggle is defeated. That question is answered. And I use that helmet that you gave me to protect my mind, to protect that direction, that will, and allow God to speak. We talked about it this way. We said, keep your head. Keep your head. Turn to somebody and tell them, keep your head. A couple weeks after that, we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, about guarding our heart, about guarding those things that would capture our heart, things like addictions and struggles and feelings of doubt and jealousy and those things that would capture our heart. And oftentimes we think, well, I'll just do what I used with the helmet. I'm just going to come to an altar and let God fill me with the Holy Ghost again. And yet we see people come to an altar, God fill them, and go back to the same struggle again, because God says, look, I've given you things for a reason and purpose. And to guard your heart, I've given you a piece that does that. And he says, it is the breastplate of righteousness. And the way I guard my heart is to do what is right. Righteousness is doing and living life the way that God says to live it. And some of the things that we looked at may not even be a heaven or hell issue, but it protects my heart. We look at the scriptures, and the scripture talks about debt. We've been talking about this on Wednesday night, that God gives us a way to manage our finances. Now, you know what? You can have all kinds of debt and still go to heaven. Absolutely. But you know what? When we live outside of the realm, we put our heart at risk, because we all know people, or maybe been in a place where your emotional life, your relationships, your sanity has been affected by the fact that your finances are out of whack. And God says, look, I've given you this life to live. It protects your heart. Do and live life the way that I'm telling you, and it guards your heart. Protect your heart. Tell somebody, guard their heart. Here 2 weeks ago, we talked about the shield of faith. Your faith is larger than you are. Faith extinguishes the lies that are told to us, that the enemy sends. He says, look, it's the enemy that is trying to not only destroy you, but destroy those things around you. And when we begin to understand what the shield of faith is, it is something that when we begin to see circumstances or begin to hear situations and begin to look at something from the perspective of it's going to burn, it's going to be destroyed, that my family or my children or relationships or a job or wherever it is that you're asking God to protect, it is that faith in us that is able to say, wait a second, remind me and remind myself again that my God is greater. My God is still able. It may look like it's out of control, but my faith says that God is still in control. And faith, we talked about this a few weeks ago, that when we looked at the shield had their name on the back. It's your faith. I can't have faith for you. Your name. But yet also, it identified them with who they were fighting with. And there is something powerful when we link together in faith. And we begin to pray the prayer of faith for each other. And here, a couple of Sunday nights ago, it was powerful what God was doing. As we begin to pray for each other in faith, not prophetically, where we begin to name specific things, but the faith of knowing what God is doing, that God is for you, that you are able to stand, that God has something great for your life. And begin to bolster our faith with each other, that God is still for us. Again, we're looking at these. And so we're moving on. And tonight we move to a different class, it seems. That all of these things have been defensive weapons. Things to protect us. Things that we wouldn't go out and start swinging with. In fact, we talked about the dangers of trying to keep these like a offensive weapon. That if I use the breastplate of righteousness, if I use my good works to try to beat you over the head and say, you're not as good as me, then I expose my heart and I place myself as a vulnerability. These are defensive weapons. And yet we come to this tonight and we're looking at this passage, and he says, I want you to take the sword of the Spirit. And the sword is often what represents battle. It represents war. It represents a fight going on. And because it symbolizes this, which what we're talking about, we talk about this as a spiritual warfare, that we're in a fight, that this sword is often what people just simply pick up first and leave the rest behind. That it's really easy to say, I'm going to pick up this sword of the Spirit, representing the fight, representing the battle, and I'm going to leave all that other stuff. I don't need that. And disaster follows. I leave my heart exposed. I leave my head exposed. I leave myself unprotected in battle. And just because I have a sword does not mean that I'm following what God said. And the scripture says, put on the whole armor. You need every piece. Now, I don't know about you, but if you may not even know anything about a sword, but if I handed you a sword, most of us would not need to ask for directions. How do I use this? Right? I mean, a sword is a sword. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's pretty easy to use. I mean, you can see young kids with sticks, right? Treating them as swords. We used to do that as kids. We used to make swords. And it's a wonder that we have two eyes. You know, I mean, after all that we've done. And Joel Hain and I went and made swords. And man, we fashioned them all out. We got dowels that we stole from his dad's woodpile and put the handle guards on there. And then we used to run around our garage on roller skates, sword fighting. Again, it's a wonder that we are still alive. But a sword is easy to use. A sword is very simple to use. But you swing it, jab at it, simple. But yet, here's the thing. A sword takes a lifetime of effort and of training to master. I don't know if you've ever seen fencing in the Olympics or some other thing where it's not just two guys going at it, swinging at each other. But there is an art, there is a finesse, there is training involved in how to effectively use a sword. And so Paul, in his writing this, he says, I want you to take all of the elements of this, all of the elements that you know, because it's on purpose that I'm telling you this, that a sword is something that is easy to use, but it takes effort to master. It takes time to use it. And without that, it can be dangerous. It can be dangerous in the hands of someone who's untrained. I had a friend that had one of these Japanese samurai swords. His dad had one of these Japanese samurai swords. And his dad was telling him, don't touch this. It's really sharp, really sharp. And he believed him. But he was telling me this story one time. We were growing up. His dad had a friend come over. And it was an adult, should have known better, and went to go look at this sword and opened up the sword and cut right through his hand. And they had to wrap the thing up, and there's blood all over everywhere. And again, as a fourth grader, that was a cool story, you know, because I mean, it was swords and blood and gore. And just remember hearing that, and it stuck with me, that swords are dangerous in the hands of someone that doesn't know what they're doing. And that is why Paul, recognizing this, gives more explanation and more clarity to this than all of the other pieces. He says, look, what you have is powerful. What you have can be dangerous. The purpose behind what you have been given is to stop and destroy what is in front of you. So be careful. Learn how to use it. And we need to understand this, that this was not written just to a select group, but this is to you today. Learn to use what God has given you. It's powerful. It's important. It's easy to use, but it takes time to master, and it's dangerous if we try to use this without knowing. And so we're going to break this down and look at this, and we need to understand what he's talking about here when he says the sword of the Spirit. So we look at this verse that he's referencing here. And look at this. You put up this next passage here if you can. He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Now, often when we're talking about the sword of the Spirit, we stop there. And we think that when we are battling and when there is something coming against us, when we're fighting something, that the sword of the Spirit is us praying, is us just, you know, all kinds of words that come, church words that come to mind, you know, talking about, you know, binding and wrapping it up and, you know, taking names and, you know, all the things that come. We just pray in the Spirit and we're doing spiritual warfare because we got our sword and we're just in the Spirit going to battle. And he says, whoa, 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 wait, let me clarify that. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. He says, that which you have been given, that offensive weapon is not just you going out and speaking in tongues. That's not what he's talking about. Nope. It's not just you going out there and, you know, taking and doing everything right. No, more than that. He says, those are important pieces. Those are important pieces. This is different. He says, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And it's so important that we understand the balance, that we understand what we really have been given, to really understand what we have, how we use it, when we use it, because it is so, so powerful. He says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then we look in Scripture, what it says. Look at John. He writes this. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. When he's saying the sword of the Spirit, what you have been given, the Word of God, that I look at this and I look at what the Word is and the Word was and the Word does, that the Word of God is the intention of God. That God says, I am going to create, that I am going to fulfill, that I am going to do. So I look at the sword of the Spirit, and it's the Word of God, and it is the intention of God. And it's more than that. Because John also writes, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten Father, full of grace and truth. And so once again, we see the Word, which is the Word of God, our sword of the Spirit, is manifest in Christ Jesus. And we look at His life and look at what He says, Jesus says in John 6, He says, for I have come down from heaven, for the Word became flesh. I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And we begin to see this coming together, that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. It is the will of God. And it's so important we get this. So important we understand how to use what God has given us. The sword of the Spirit does not represent something that I use to fight for my personal edification. The sword of the Spirit is not something that I use to make my point, to make me look better, to get my way, to get what I feel should be pushed through. It is none of that. The sword of the Spirit is the will and the intention of God. It is me proclaiming the will of God. It is me doing everything that I can in seeing God's will manifested in my life. That it is God's perception. It is God's position on the matter, not mine. And this is so important. Look at this. That spiritual warfare, when we talk about spiritual warfare, we often think, kind of get amped up, ramped up, you know, playing, you know, some good theme music in the back, and oh yeah, we're going to fight, we're going to take. But as we look at our position, as we look at what Scripture is, that spiritual warfare is spiritual submission. It's not us getting up and acting tough. It is us relinquishing to His power and His strength without exception. We talk about the helmet of salvation. What is that? I'm transferring my authority to Him. We talk about the breastplate of righteousness. What is that? That is saying, I'm going to do what you say to do, not what I want to do. We talked about the shield of faith. It is believing not what I see, but what I know you are able to do. In every case, it is relinquishing my way for His. And the sword of the Spirit is no different. It is saying, I will use God's word to proclaim God's will. That's why in Scripture it says that in my weakness, He is strong. That we use this not to defend our point, but to allow His word to speak. The sword that you have been given is the word of God, which is when the way that we use it is by proclaiming His will and proclaiming His way. So how do we use this? Paul used this weapon on purpose and specifically because the sword was not a long-range weapon. The sword wasn't something you stood back and you threw. No, it wasn't that. The sword was a close personal weapon. It was used when things got up and personal. It was used when things got close enough to touch you. Understand, I'm excited about this because somebody needs to hear this. It was when it affected you, when it was close enough to you to do you damage. It wasn't in the distance and it wasn't in somebody else's fight. It was when it got up in your face. And he says, you have been given this weapon. So when you are going through life and are doing what you need to do, you've got the other armor in place, that you're allowing God to take control of your life, that you're doing what you know you need to do to protect your heart, that you believe that God is able, and yet in spite of it, something comes up and is close enough to take you out. When the fight gets personal, when the fight gets close enough, when you can, you're trying your best and all of a sudden you're facing something in the moment, he says, I've given you something to help you overcome in that moment. It is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word and the intention and the will of God. And that is when and how we use this incredible gift that God has given us. And Jesus gives us this amazing example of how to use this. And we read about it in the temptation of Jesus, that Jesus has gone through a 40-day fast. I can't even imagine. Some of us, our 40-minute fast is enough to take us out. A 4-day fast, and we think that, we're floating, all right? But here it is. Jesus fasted 40 days, and he is at the end of a fast. Now, just show of hands, how many have fasted? All right. At the end of that fast that you kept, all right, not the ones you break, but at the end of your fast, you're feeling pretty good, aren't you? I mean, maybe not physically, but spiritually, right? Right? Feeling successful, feeling God's presence, feeling closer to God. But here, look at this. At the end of this fast, where he should be feeling his most spiritual, we find Jesus having a conversation with the devil. Wait, that doesn't seem right. I mean, come on, I'm supposed to feel God. I'm supposed to just envelop and show his pleasure. But at the end of it, look at this. He is having a conversation with the devil, and it gets personal. That he's doing everything right. That he is following the plan. And now it's in his face. It's face-to-face, word-to-word, question-to-question. And in this moment, Jesus gives us this perfect example of using the very gift that he gave us. And he says, in that moment, when it gets personal, when you're challenged, use the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. And the way he does it is so beautiful, and he does it in a way for our benefit. Do you ever think about this? And many of you know the story that Jesus uses scripture in this time. But the word of God, if the word was with God and the word was God and the word was manifested in God, couldn't have Jesus said anything and it would have been effective? I mean, he could have just said any new thing and it would have been the word of God and provided power enough to defeat temptation. He could have said anything, but yet, For us, he did it differently. Because he says, I know that you're not God, but yet you're going to face the same trial, the same kind of temptation. And I want to teach you and to let you see how much power that you have been given with the sword of the Spirit. And so in this temptation, we see that Jesus doesn't speak something new, but he reaches back and begins to quote Scripture. It's close. It's intimate. He says, I'm reaching for my sword. And at that time of attack, he begins to quote Scripture. Look at these. Matthew 4:4. But he answered and said, it is written. Satan came to him and said, hey, you're really hungry. Turn this stone to bread. You're really famished. You did a good job. You went all 40 days. Now it's time to eat. Jesus said, it's written. You're coming against me. I fasted and I did what I need to, but now this is close. It's personal. You're tempting me. This is one-to-one. And so I've got to reach for something different. I've got to reach for what I've been given, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you know where he got this from? Jesus reached back all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy, and he was quoting what was said. And look at this, that he was quoting a scripture. He says that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And what happened? That temptation was defeated. That he says, I am reaching for what I have been given. In that moment of attack and that moment of conflict, I will use the word of God. I will use the power and the authority and the will of God. He goes on, he continued to tempt it. He says, hey, throw yourself down. And here's the thing, the devil quotes Scripture. He says, because you know, Book of Psalms, Jesus says that if you fall down, the angels will come take care of you. You know the verse. Do you know what it was? It was a sword fight. Let me ask you this. Does the devil know the Bible better than you? Does the devil know the tools that God has given you and can use it against you? Let me ask you this. Has anyone ever been in a place where maybe somebody quoted a scripture to you and you felt horrible after that? You were in a situation where you're reading something and man, you just, wow. And I'm not talking in a convicting, I need to change my life, but in a way that it was used against you, the devil knows what he's doing. He told Jesus, hey, if you won't quote Scripture, I'll quote Scripture. But Jesus gave us this example saying, you know what? We need to know our Scripture. It's easy to use a sword, but it takes time and effort to become proficient. Take the time, get into the word, not just because it's a box to check off, but because it can change and allow you to stand in the midst of temptation. Jesus tells me, he says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And again, he is reaching back to Old Testament, back to the Torah in the book of Deuteronomy. And that's Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at this. He's quoting from that. And he says, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. He said, I'm reaching back and I'm using the power of God's word, God's will, God's intention. And he goes on. He says, there's that third attack that came to him and said, look, just give up. I let all the kingdoms be yours. And what he was really being tempted is that you can bypass Calvary. You don't have to go through what you know you need to go through. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written. And that for is such a powerful word. He's saying, you have to leave because what I'm about to say can defeat you. You need to go because what I'm about to quote is a weapon against you. He says, for it is written, you shall serve the Lord your God and him only. And again, going back and reaching back to the Old Testament scripture, we say you shall fear. The word that in the Old Testament is fear, but it's interpreted in the New Testament. You shall worship, you shall serve the Lord your God and serve him. It's there. It's scripture. It's how it works. It's the same scripture that you have. When was the last time that you used it as it was intended to be used? when you're under a personal attack, when there is something that is going against you and saying that your old ways are going to leave you, that your past is just too bad, that the mistakes that you've made, you can't get over, that why are you even trying? Why are you even trying to become what God wants you to come? Why are you even thinking about going to church? They know your past, and it's no good. You can't change. That's when we say, oh, you want to bring this fight personal? Because I'm trying, and I'm doing what God said, but you just took it and made it personal, and I'm fighting, and I reach in. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things, and devil, that means me, have become new. There's power in the scripture. The psalmist wrote it in Psalms 119. He says, your word I have hidden in my heart. Why? So that it just makes me feel good and I know the words to those songs that have verses in them. No! Because it allows me to take a stand and not sin. There is power when we do what Jesus did. And allow God's word to speak in us, through us, and for us. It is the weapon that God gave you. Here, last Sunday night, we watched a thing on marriage, and he was talking about this very thing. He was talking about scripture to hide in your heart. Scripture that in times of temptation, to quote. Scripture in times of battle, to say things that reach back, not for my own, just here's how good I am, but it is a fighting element that I am being faced with a temptation. I am being faced with a trial. I am being faced something that is close to me, that is affecting me. And God says, I have given you something so that doing all, you can stand. You can stand. You can overcome the temptation. You can overcome in that moment. It worked for Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Some of you are like, well, you know, I don't need to do that. If Jesus needed to, how good are you? Are you better than Christ? Do you have more self-will and self-control than Jesus? A hearty no? No. Absolutely. So where do we think we get the exemption of this? Here's the thing. It's part of the armor that says you have to have this. It's necessary. If you want to stand, it must be part of who you are. And like we said, it's simple. We teach our children memory verses. We teach our kids to quote scripture. But are we still battling on a kindergarten level when we are facing big people problems? Have we allowed that to mature in us and to use what God has given us in the time and the way that it has been given us? It's important. It's important. But he also went on to clarify. He says, look, as powerful as this is, you need to make sure that your target is right. You need to make sure that who you're fighting and what you're fighting is the correct thing. He to begin all this, he starts in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, now here's where the battle is. Here's where the war is. He says, for your struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against the person sitting next to you. It's not against your mother-in-law or father-in-law or other in-laws or outlaws in your life. It's not the guy that you have a problem with at work. No. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. This is what it is for. This is who you're fighting for. He says, I want to make sure that this is crystal clear. Because the word of God was never to be used against someone that is loved by God. That's not God's will. That's not God's destiny. It was never used to hurt or to harm or to control someone. In fact, at the end of this, look, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And he clarifies, which is the word of God. And let me tell you how you should use this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Okay, the Spirit that I just referenced in God's word. Use this and look at what I want you to use it for. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Meaning, you don't use this against someone. You use this to defend and protect someone. That you don't use this to try to get your way and push you forward. In fact, it goes back to what the commandments were given. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Right? We look at the Ten Commandments. He says, and don't use the name of the Lord. How? In vain. You know what he's talking about there? He's not talking about when you hit your thumb that you shout Jesus. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about this. He says, don't use my power, my name, my authority for your own agenda. Amen. Don't use it to get your way. But what it has been given for, it is for you to fight. And how do we fight? It's in submission that we say, I use this. And I point to God's power. I use this and I point to God's authority. I use this and I point not to myself, but his way, his will, his power. Use it. Use it. Now, you've been given some handouts tonight. This is sword practice. On your card is like 16 verses. You know what the challenge is? Memorize them. Well, I can't memorize. How many? I'm not going to ask you how many can't memorize, because here's what I want you to do. How many know your name? How many know your phone number? How many know the address where you live? You can memorize. You've just not made it important. Right, you can memorize. Remember what we said at the beginning? That the sword is easy to use. Quote a verse. Ready? Jesus wept. All right, there we did it. Great. But it takes time and effort to master. There is something powerful when God's word becomes in us. Oh, I don't understand this. I cannot define this. But all I know is that it works. That when I am living my life the best way that I know how, I will still come up against struggles that can knock me down. I will come up with things in the moment, at a time when I am least expecting it, that can come to try to capture my mind, try to capture my thoughts, try to change my attitude, try to change my behavior into a way that would go against the way that God would happen. It can come up so suddenly. Do you know you don't have to live a horrible, sinful life to be tempted with sinful thoughts and sinful actions? Do you know that Jesus was tempted? That if God in flesh can be tempted, don't think that you are immune, that the devil will tempt you in the moment. That again, what happens is that we begin to put on the armor of God, that I am transferring my authority to God, that I am living according to his righteousness, doing what he said, that I am believing in his faith and claiming his faith. And in the moment, it's there, it's in your face, it's personal, you're under attack. And what do you do? Where do you reach? We reach to God's word. And that is why it is so important to have God's word hidden in your heart. Why? It keeps us from falling and sinning. And I don't know how, I can't describe, I can't give you the logical reason, but I've seen it time and time again. And those of you who've done this, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That in that moment of temptation, in that moment of trial, when it's in your face and it's close enough to hit, we begin to pull from God's word in our heart, and I begin to quote scripture. It's written. I know what I'm feeling, but it's written that God is for me. And what shall we say to these things? That I'll tell you, that if God is for me, then who can be against me? That I begin to reach in and take God's word, the sword that I have been given, and to be able to defend and to stand no matter what the enemy would throw at me. So here is something that you can use. Put these in your home. Put them in your car. Take them to work. Put them up on the bulletin board. Put them on the mirror. Put them on the refrigerator. Put them in the freezer. Put them on the ice cream. Whatever you do, that you go and you see it regularly and say it, this will help me. I don't know when I'm going to need this, but it's an arsenal that I'm putting in my heart. This is sword practice. This is practice because I know at some time I am going to be in a fight and I need to defend myself, and God has already given me the victory ahead of time. Will I take advantage of this? And here's the thing, that God's word is true, and you have seen it, and hopefully you've experienced that in that moment of temptation, when it looks like you're going to lose, when it looks like you're going to give, oh, this is overwhelming, oh, it's just flooding over me. Wait a second, I reach in and I pull out what God has given me. Oh, wait a second, I've got a sword here, and it's not my own strength. It's not my own ability. It's not my own agenda, but it is the word of God. It is the will of God, and God saved me. God loves me. God redeemed me. I'm His. It's His power. It's His will. It's His way, and whatever can come against me, that attack will be defeated by the word of God. Our problem is we don't use it. Our problem is we allow ourselves to become under attack and we drop our guard. When God has given you the weapon to stand, but will you put it in your heart? Now, this is just a start. This is just a start. Begin to memorize these. Begin to become addicted to putting God's word in your heart. It makes a difference. It makes all the difference. Because there is power in God's word. I want us to stand, and we're going to close in a little different way. I want to put this into practice. And I want you to come forward. Just all come to the altar here tonight and stand. I want us to, this is a little different. Again, these messages are a bit different. This is kind of Bible study. This is kind of teaching, but this is real. This is stuff that matters. This is stuff that will change a life. This is what will allow you to stand and to defeat those things that have you bound, those addictions, those things that you're struggling with, thoughts, those things and attitudes that you're fighting against. This is where you can find victory. In God's word, that we just simply do what Jesus did and do in the way that Jesus did it. And so we have four passages. And we're going to put them up on the screen. And here's what I want us to do. That we're just going to put this into practice together. We're going to say this out loud. Not as well, let's just read the words on the screen. No, wait a second. We need to understand what you have here. This is a sword of God's word. This is power. This is authority. Not by your strength. But something happens when I, here's the key, I make this mine. When it stops being just words on a page or words on a device or a screen, and it becomes my prayer, it becomes my strength. There is something that happens that is so powerful. When God's word moves from outside of me to being in me. For those of you that have struggled with a past, those of you that have done wrong and knew it, those of you that feel that you should have known better, and that every time you pray, it just seems like something comes up against you and says, why are you even trying? You don't deserve it. Can we say this together? It is written. Put this verse up. Hebrews chapter 4. Come on, let's say this together. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. When you need it, God's reminding that you have mercy. There is nothing that can stand against you. Can we thank Him for that right now? God, I'm thankful that there's nothing. There's no past, there's no sin that can keep me away from Your mercy. There's nothing in my life that can hold me back to come before You. That when I ask You to forgive me, You forgive me every time. Even when I don't deserve it, God, every time there's a need, You fulfill it. When I need to be forgiven, You forgive me. How many are thankful for that? How many are thinking that's a sword that you need to hide away in your heart? When you begin to feel that, you begin to pull that out. It is written, let us therefore come boldly. Meaning I don't have to shy away, but I've been invited in. That it is mine, and God is saying, you are invited. You are welcome. Come boldly to the throne of grace that I may obtain mercy and find grace when I need it the most. It's my sword. It's my sword. For those of you that are up against a struggle right now, for those of you that are fighting right now against something, that you're in a circumstance where you don't know where to turn and where to go, I want to point you to Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It's a sword that God gave you when you don't know what to say, when you don't know how to respond, when you look at something in your life and you don't know how you're going to answer this. Can we say this together? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter what these things are. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. If God is for me, then there's nothing that I need to worry about. He is for me. Who else can be against us? Can we thank God for His victory? Oh, thank you, God. 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 Some of you are trying your best and you're trying to, it just seems like every time that you take a step forward, you're beaten back and you're tired in your spirit. You're weary in your spirit. And it just seems like the devil just keeps beating you up and just reminding you, and you just can't. There's just no peace in your life. There's no refreshing. Matthew 11, verse 28. Can we say this together? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is peace in the presence of God. There is a God that says, let me take that from you. Let me take and carry that from you. Can we thank Him that He is able? Can we thank Him that He is able? Lord God, I thank You. God, I praise You. God, I love You. You are so good. You are so good. Oh, I thank You. I thank You. So simple. So simple. So easy. So easy. So powerful. So powerful. One more. For those that think, not included. Those that doubt. Those that say, I don't know if this is for me. I don't know if I deserve this. That God is able. Can we say this? These two verses? Because the second verse is what seals it for us. Come on, let's say this together. Then Peter said, repent and be, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And stop right here. Because look at this. Look at that. There's a promise there. There's a will of God there. There is an intention of God there. That you repent. That God already said, I'm going to forgive you. Baptize in the name of Jesus. Scriptures that say, He desires you. His name, His authority. And there is a promise. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on. Look at this next verse. For the promise is to you and to your children. And to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. You know what that means? That means me. That means you. That means that God came and says, this gift, this promise, this blessing is for you. You don't have to doubt it. You don't have to question it. That when you begin to wonder, you begin to have a fight that says, I don't know if that's for you. I don't know if that's for your family, your home. Just remind you. Wait a second, you want to take this? You want to make this personal? Let me pull out God's word and say, this is a promise, that it's a promise for me. It's a promise for my children. It's a promise for my home. It's a promise for those who are close to me and far away from me. It's a promise for everyone God loves. And you know who that is? That's everyone.
Yes.
That's everyone. I'm thankful for the power of God's word. Use what God gave you. Use what God gave you. Don't keep being defeated when the weapon that God has given you to stand is right in your hand. Put it in your heart. Quote it. Say it out loud. Sing it. Do whatever you've got to do. But in doing all this, God says, you can stand. Isn't God great? God gives us everything that we need. Power of his word to stand. As we close, let us just in our own way thank him, celebrate him, worship him, allow him to speak to our life. God, we've heard from your word. Lord God, help us to take this and not just hear it. But God, I know there's a fight that we're up against. God, I know there's struggles in lives right here in this place, and you see. And yet in your word, there is promise after promise. There is authority. There is strength. There is power. As we begin to make your word our heart, as we begin to utilize what we have been given and begin to use it in the right way, at the right time, and begin to reach in and allow your word to give us power when we need it, to give us strength when we need it, to give us the authority to stand when we need it. Oh God, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, God, for your protection. We thank you, God, for all that you've done. Oh God, we're so blessed. We're so blessed. And God, thank you for reminding us, God, that this is available, that this is what you've given us. Oh God, we need you. We need you. We need you. We need you. Can you just reach out? We're praying for one another. Come on, let's allow that faith to be part of this and begin to pray for one another. Begin to encourage them. Begin to pray that prayer of faith on it, that this is for you, that God wants to do things in your life, that God wants to protect you, that God wants you to be strong, that God wants you to have victory, that God wants you to have authority over those things that have captured you, that God wants you to be able to break through those things that are holding you back, that God wants to give you that peace, God wants to give you that joy, God wants to give you his spirit. Come on, let's pray. Lord God, we need you.